tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome on in, everybody. Let's go. It's the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland, Season 5, Episode 7, entitled Oriole. Welcome on in, everybody. I am Frank Majorana. I'm your lead host. You can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. And as always, I'm joined by my beautiful panel, Stephanie Garrett.
Hey, I'm Stephanie G at Stephanie G3360 on Instagram and Twitter, and Stephanie Garrett 3360 on YouTube.
And Julian Dujeric.
Hello, everybody. I'm Julian Dujeric, as you just said. You can find me everywhere across the board at Julian Dujeric.
And we have a special guest in store for us in the second half of the show tonight. Dr. Vincent Houghton will be on the show. He wrote an article last week in the Wall Street Journal recapping Episode 6, and he's an intelligence expert. The article was really interesting. We're going to link to it at the bottom of our video on YouTube here of this after show. He talked a lot about what he saw, what he liked, what he didn't like, about the intelligence aspects of the show. So it'll be interesting to get his opinions on what he saw tonight for this episode.
Yeah. For sure.
Looking forward to it.
So thank you, Julian, for setting that up.
Yes,
so
thank you, Julian.
Dr. Houghton will be here in about 15 minutes, so yeah. We'll have him on. But as we always like to do, we start our show off with our social media shout-outs. So You guys can reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, or on our YouTube page, just directly commenting on our after show using the hashtag ABTVHomeland. Each week before the show, we look at your comments, what you sent to us, and we pick out what we think has the most value and is going to enhance the show for our viewers. So I want to point out, of course, our favorite out there, Lois Elfman, is always reaching out to us.
Hey, Lois.
Hi, Lois.
Lois is reaching out to us every week, so thank you very much for your comments.
Yeah.
She had a really good one here. She said, Carrie, and this is at Lois Elfman, Carrie not considering consequences is kind of the premise of the series.
Doesn't make me like her anymore.
I know. We'll never win Julian over.
We'll never win him over, but it's okay.
No, but that's a great point.
Yeah,
without
absolutely.
Without Carrie sort of shirking her responsibilities as a parent and a sister and a daughter, we wouldn't have the exciting events that this show has had so far. So.
She's nice and messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely makes for interesting narratives and a great show.
We're never going to win you over.
No, it's not going to happen.
But that was a great comment. Thank you, Lois, and we appreciate that you're watching every week. Trotolina.ie, this is at SDG1712, said, my prediction for Quinn is he is set up as a mercenary now. He will keep playing that role and stay undercover. Which was a very good prediction. They sent that in 4 days ago, and we saw during this episode Quinn is still out there acting as a mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to talk about first, so that's our Twitter social media shout-out. Yeah. So a really good point. We saw that during the episode. Quinn is he's sort of in the in-between now. He meets with Dardal later, and we'll talk about that in a second. So, Julian, did you see anything on YouTube?
Yes. I'm terrible at pronouncing these YouTube usernames.
People have just have easier usernames to say. Like, a lot of them are really hard.
So I'm just going to call you Rosa. She says, you know, last week I was in disagreement with you guys over Saul, but boy, you were right, Julian. Thank you. He is so off. I didn't expect he was this off. He seems so helpless, but it goes to show the importance of he and Carrie's relationship, because without them working together, basically, it all goes to poo. That was it. Well, I'm glad when anyone agrees with me, so I will always, always shout out those mentions.
Yeah.
And then another comment that I thought was pretty pretty spot on, Tree of Wisdom, spelled with a Y, says, hi guys, I think the title of the episode just reflects the intricate web-like nature of these characters' relationships and connections to each other, and the fact that they quite literally cannot survive or function without each other.
Oh, wow.
So,
good point.
Yeah, that was a great point about the title of the episode, which we were having trouble.
Yeah.
Parabiosis?
Yeah, parabiosis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're having trouble figuring out the connection. But yeah.
And that's
very
a great
cool.
point. When they're in that world, the intelligence world, the world of dark secrets, you need to have allies. Mm. As we've seen during this episode, which we'll talk about in a second, it's really tough to exist in that kind of world. And when you get involved in that game, it's hard to know who to trust.
Yeah.
Right. You either have to trust everyone or trust no one.
Or trust no one.
Yeah. So
that's it. Yeah.
Really difficult. But anyway, that was a really good comment. Yeah. I really like that. We really appreciate you all being engaged out there for the show. Yes. I know we're in the fifth season of this show, but our fans are still excited about it as ever. Mm-hmm. So continue to comment on our page, and we'll highlight the best of each week at the beginning of our episode.
Right.
So let's get into episode 7, Oriole. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I'll talk about the beginning credits. I thought it was timely that Homeland put up a card addressing the Paris attacks. We do the show tonight with a heavy heart. It was tough to watch some of the scenes with the jihadis sort of plotting in Berlin, but then deciding that they want to go to the Levant, which is in Syria. It's all very, very close to home right now, and I thought it was a smart move to at least put a card up to say these events are fictional. Whatever resemblance they are is not meant to make a commentary on it, that Homeland is just
a show.
So it was really tough because the representations that the show makes can be very, very real with jihadis planning a terrorist attack in a European city. And lo and behold, it happened on Friday. So really tough for me. What did you think of that when you saw that? How did it strike you?
Well, it's been a sad situation, but I'm glad that they at least addressed it.
Yeah.
You know, let people know, look, this is just a show. You know, even though it could be spot on sometimes.
Right.
It's just, it's fiction.
Right. But the show can be so politically involved in real life events. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that they're aware of that and that they put this information out there to say, hey, just a reminder, you know, we recognize the horridness of this event, and what we're portraying here is just completely fictional.
Yeah, it shows their self-aware nature, and I was glad that they did that because that doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they did that. When emotions are so raw, as rightfully they should be, because it's a horrific thing that happened. It's important to be sensitive and to recognize that.
Yes.
You know, those emotions are on the surface right now with people, and so
that's
I'm glad
true.
That they did that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to be a little bit abridged tonight because we want to give Dr. Houghton the appropriate amount of time. So, guys, I want you to give me what stood out for you in this episode, what you like the most, what was most interesting, what you're looking forward to, you know, for this episode. Just Julian, what stood out to you?
Start, I got so many, I usually be here all night.
I'm trying to be chivalrous and let the lady go first, but
go
I'm just like, I just want to blurt out Allison's name. Allison!
Alishka.
As
Ivan called her.
My word.
Very exotic.
This is not an endorsement of her in any way. I don't like her. I think she's evil. But man, is she a mastermind. She is brilliant, that woman.
She's brilliant. Yeah. I love her.
Just the puppeteer. Yeah. Like, and it's interesting to see the human moments, what is behind the masterminding of this scheme, because it shows that it does weigh on her. And so I'm glad that they're showing that, but... Allison.
Yeah. Well, yeah, remember, Yvonne, is this Yvonne, right?
Yvonne.
He says, you know, I wrote it down, so I'm paraphrasing here. She plays these men for years.
Yeah.
And she's good at it.
Yeah.
That's just who she is.
Yep.
And you said, you go, women.
I was joking.
You gotta use what you got, ladies, right?
Well, she has assets at her disposal that I couldn't even...
She's what they would call a honeypot.
Yeah, but during the episode, we saw her have a panic attack in the bathroom when Saul says, hey, Carrie's got the documents, and she's looking through them now. So we still don't know what it is in the documents that is really going to destroy her. But obviously, it's something very big enough to cause her to have a panic attack in Saul's hotel bathroom.
I was like, Saul, don't tell her.
Yeah.
Like, don't say anything.
And Carrie calls her late in the episode, and I had the same feeling. Someone just clue into the fact that she's horrible, because we all know it already.
Right.
But that's what I said last week. I love about this season is we already know.
Yeah.
Right.
So we see the way that she's playing it from the inside.
Yeah, it's great. And it's so funny. It's hard to for me sometimes when you know so much about the surrounding players.
Yeah.
I expect Carrie and Saul to know too, but I forget that they don't.
They don't know.
And that's a wonderful, like, shout out to Homeland for doing that, for having that kind of those plot branches and that, and you know, having a fourth wall, like using the fourth wall and kind of, you know, giving a nod to the audience in that way. I just, it emotionally riles me up.
I know.
It does.
I tend to, like,
we're all like, no.
Yeah, we're all like yelling at the TV. It's very. Yeah.
We're into it.
Yeah, I mean, well, because we really want this to work out. We want Elsa to get found out and Carrie to be okay and Saul and Carrie to be buddies again. But that wouldn't be much of a show if just they're back together and they're happy and everything's okay.
Right.
That's not why we tune in every week. We tune in to see how they're going to unravel this mystery and see what happens, you know, as it twists and turns. And the twist that we saw this week was that Carrie goes to Amsterdam and finds the name of the guy who is Ahmed Nazari.
Nazari,
Nazari, and he is a former, he's a former terrorist who we thought was killed, but was not in a bombing and still lives. So Carrie wants to get a hold of him, and she goes to his house in Amsterdam, and they find him there, but she's using an expat to go look for Nazari. Isam is the guy that she used.
Right.
And he ends up getting killed.
Mm.
Nazari ends up getting kidnapped. And I thought Saul was getting kidnapped by the same people. Obviously, he wasn't. It turns out that he was being kidnapped by the Israeli team helping him out, which was great, by the way. That was a great surprise. That was probably my favorite part of this episode was Saul meeting up with Itai.
Which I'll just say, there was a delayed response in my reaction because I was writing down... I think I wrote down who took Saul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote down who took Saul. And then immediately in the next scene, I'm still writing down notes, and you guys reacted, and that's what prompted me to look up at the screen and see, and then I reacted, which was very funny. I just thought.
Such a great idea.
You know, I was going to say, at first, I thought it was Quinn and those guys, at first.
Okay.
Just for a hot second, and then I thought, no, he doesn't know where he is, so okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an easy way to see that, and the way the episode set it up, like I was saying, with Nazari getting kidnapped, with Isam being killed, it seemed like Saul, I was fearing another situation where he got kidnapped by Haqqani last season.
Right.
I thought, oh no, here we go again. But it turns out that, you know, he's okay. He's with Itai, Luskin, his friend, so we're all good there. But I'm wondering how far away Carrie is from truly understanding who it is that's coming after her. Because instead of being led in the correct direction of being more and more suspicious of the correct people, she is going to the source. She is going to Allison.
Yeah,
who is the perpetrator of it all?
Right.
So, really, did she really learn anything this week?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think she's getting further away from the truth.
I was thinking this, a little like the fly calling the spider, saying, can you help me?
Yeah.
Can you help me? And
the
spider goes, sure, come on in.
Right.
I can help you come in.
That's very true. Yeah.
Great analogy. Yeah. It's just so sad to see. It's so, this show gives me blood pressure elevations my doctor wouldn't approve of. This is crazy.
Me too.
It's crazy. This is one of very few shows that I actually get that into, and I feel like my blood literally boils.
Yeah.
But the conspiracy elements are kept very simple for us.
Yeah.
We find out who Touchstone and Oriole is during the course of the episode. Now, we rewound it as we were watching so we could perfectly understand who was talking to who, so we could clearly understand it for you guys. But Carrie calls her old contact and figures out where it is that she needs to go, but then ultimately is led back to Allison. Now, Allison's going to play her.
Oh, yeah.
She's not going to tell her the truth. She's going to take all the information, and I think that's very dangerous for Carrie. Without previewing next week's scenes, because we know you guys don't like us to do that, so I'm not going to do that, but I think it really puts her in a dangerous situation.
Very.
When Allison clearly wants Carrie dead, and now they're going to meet up.
Yeah.
It scares me. I think Carrie is going to get... Well, I don't want to predict anything, but I think Carrie is in big trouble next episode.
Well, you mentioned something about Otto.
Yeah.
That you didn't.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So, yeah, just quickly about
Otto.
He said, and I've said this many weeks, that Otto is not to be trusted. He's not a good character, and he has ulterior motives. And while they're sitting in Otto's chapel talking about Otto's chivalry, I wrote down what Carrie said here. Carrie said, "You seem pretty virtuous, Otto, but I'm not." Mm. Yeah. And I think there was a lot of foreshadowing in this episode. Mm-hmm. That did it for me. That was the big thing. I told you guys,
you said
something
it,
is going to happen with him. He is not who we think that he is. Mm-hmm. He comes off as, and it's not just that he's going to cancel Carrie's contract, which we found out about.
Yeah.
It's not just that. There is some other bigger moment ahead for Otto Düring, and it's going to be a play against Carrie.
I think
and that line confirmed it for me. Disagree if you want.
Nah, I thought Otto was good, but now I'm not so sure.
We came around this episode. Well, I was I was half with you last week.
Yeah.
I did think that there was something going on. I guess I'm optimistic and hope that it would wouldn't be as bad. But now I'm very suspicious of him.
Very.
Why is he trying to derive a riff? And what does he have the documents? I'm sure that he does now. I don't know. I'm with you now.
Yeah, I am with you too. And the way that he said it, but I'm not. It wasn't half joking. There was no smile with it. It was just him saying, "But I'm not."
Right. And usually that's a telltale sign when somebody says that something about themselves. That's indication of who they really are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a way that's such a stoic disposition, that there's no hesitation. There was no indication of sarcasm. Not that that would be appropriate in that, not that anything really is appropriate or not appropriate in the world of espionage, but those little things are indicative of something much more sinister.
Yes. Yeah. There's something going on with him. And also, I'm going to sort of preview my prediction here, but another line that came up during the episode that I thought was a foreshadowing moment was Allison saying, "I have no intention of spending the rest of my life in prison."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I will come back to that at the end of the show because I know exactly what my prediction is going to be for that one. So that one's coming back. But I also want to talk about Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
Jonas made an appearance. Carrie says they're broken up. But then Jonas comes back to the farm and seeks to meet up with her. Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I told you, just because they broke up doesn't mean they're not together.
Okay.
They may have said the words, but the heart is still connected.
Well, they didn't say, "I'm not with you anymore." Right. They just walked away from each other.
Yeah,
right?
They're just upset and they just need to work it out. Yeah. I still have hope for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think, Julian, of Jonas?
I thought it was out of character for him. I thought he was kind of done, but I guess I'm projecting I would do in a situation like that.
Once the dust is settled, you get a chance to think.
That's true. When emotions are high like that, it's hard to kind of think much less speak objectively.
Mm-hmm. But remember too, Carrie says, or Otto asks her, when this is all over in your ideal situation, what could you do? And he says, Carrie says, "I'd go get Jonas. I would have him. I'd take him back to America, pick up Franny, and we'd go live peacefully with a cabin in the woods."
Mm.
And so she is still thinking of him. He is still thinking of her, and it's making me think that they still have a future together.
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, we want to bring in our guest now, Dr. Vincent Houghton, who wrote an article last week for the Wall Street Journal about the intelligence aspects of this episode. Julian reached out to him on Twitter, and thankfully he was generous enough to come on today. So, Dr. Houghton, we want to welcome you into the show.
It's good to be here.
Thank you very much for coming on. First of all, just curious on your general thoughts about tonight's episode. What'd you think?
Well, they're getting better at presenting realities around intelligence. They've always been more entertainment than reality, but they're doing a better job than they have been in the past in portraying what really happens in the world of intelligence. They're still not perfect, but they're each week they get a little bit better as we go.
What did you think of, as we were watching the episode tonight, I was thinking about having you on, and what did you think of Saul being rescued by the Israeli operatives? How real was that to you? And because to me, I was watching, I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." But I wonder if that is something that's truly possible, or more TV and Hollywood than anything else.
I mean, it's a little bit Hollywoodized, but it is a reality. I mean, there are emergency exfiltrations. That's what basically that's called, via code word. When normal communications are impossible, even if you know that you're going to be in a very dangerous situation, you may previously set something up, usually with your own guys, but in this case, Saul set up with the Israelis, where something like, you know, calling for laundry was the emergency code word, where he's saying, come get me, exfil me, exfiltrate me. And that's so that, yeah, it happens in the real world. It's usually not as exciting as that. But there are times where that does play a role in reality. Again, usually it's your own team, not always somebody else. But,
right.
But even if you're spying against your own country and, you know, whoever your handlers are, like say I'm spying for the Russians, we may have a pre-designated code word saying, hey, look, they're about to arrest me. Get me the hell out of here.
Right.
So that certainly does happen in real life.
Yeah.
Usually the Israelis aren't holding up the Americans with some machine guns. But again, it happens, but not quite that exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there any inconsistencies in this episode that you notice? I'm wondering.
Oh, well, sure. well, so you mentioned the Wall Street Journal. I've been since the beginning of last season, I've been reviewing Homeland for them for the Speakeasy column, and every single episode, there's inconsistencies, there's problems. They do a good job getting some stuff right, but it's Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that jumps out at me, I mean, there's several things, but the biggest one that jumps out at me is the idea that the Russian SVR team that follows her to Amsterdam, or that's already in Amsterdam, the fact that they're shooting up the streets in Amsterdam, next to the school where the kids are, and the fact that there's not police there within 30 seconds of gunfire in broad daylight in Amsterdam, it's kind of ridiculous. It's very much true when Quinns get shot in Berlin. These are European countries that don't have the same kind of gun laws we do here. They're very strict.
That's right.
And so when gunfire goes off, that tends to draw attention. Beyond that, if you talk purely in the intelligence world, you're not going to try to kill Claire in this case. If you're Russians, you want to capture Claire. The idea is to gather intelligence. And I think that's the trope that is used far too often when dealing with spy movies or anything like that, is the idea of shooting people and killing people. First and foremost, these are organizations that are trying to collect information, to collect intelligence. And dead people don't talk. You know, so the idea of shooting first and asking questions later really leaves you in a position where you can't ask any real questions.
Right.
That's a good point.
And so, like, for instance, the executive director of the museum at which I work, Peter Ernest, he spent 36 years as an operations officer in CIA, never carried a gun in 36 years, and worked behind enemy lines, behind the Iron Curtain, in what we call denied areas, and just never gotten a shootout. It's very, very Hollywood. The idea, of course, is, you know, you can't get information from dead people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because after reading about the Paris attacks, that one of the terrorists is still alive. And, you know, they obviously want to get a chance to talk with them. And I think that's a great point that you just made. So, Dr. Houghton, I just want to give you a chance to tell the people where they can find you on social media and follow your work.
Well, you can find me a couple places. My Twitter feed is at HootieV. It's a long story. It goes back to when I was young. HOOTIEV. But if you're interested in real world spy stuff, I run my own podcast called Spycast out of the museum. So every week on Tuesday, we post a new interview with me and a former director of an agency, or former spy or current spy, or authors and journalists. And it's all real intelligence stuff. So check it out. Spymuseum.org is our website, or you can find Spycast on iTunes.
That is so cool.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah,
I like espionage.
Yeah, it's a fun perk of the job. Is, you know, I get to call people up and be like, hey, you used to run the CIA. You want to go chat for about a half an hour?
Nice.
Usually say yes, which is great.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Houghton, thank you so much for joining us. This was such an insightful discussion, and we were so excited to have you on all week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm not done with you.
Oh, no?
No, I have a question, too.
Okay, no, please.
We're not done.
Bring it on.
Yeah,
usually we plug after, so I don't want him to go.
Oh, no, I wanted him to get the plug in the middle when everybody's listening.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere just yet.
I can plug at the end, too.
Okay, we'll give you a chance at the end to do it, too.
Okay.
So I want to ask about the Allison storyline that we see.
Oh, that's my question.
Oh, then you take it.
No, well, I was going to say, how realistic is someone like Allison being, what I would say, a double agent.
Yeah.
I would say she's a double agent.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah. How realistic is, I'm sure it's probably pretty realistic. What would you say?
She's technically a mole.
Yes, a mole.
So double agent is something very specific. It's when you think you recruited somebody, but they're actually working against you. So Allison's not even an agent at all. If we want to let's get wonky about terminology.
Gotcha. So she's a mole.
An agent is someone.
That's what you're here for,
yeah,
please.
An agent is someone you go recruit. So no one that works for CIA will call themselves spies. They're actually operations officers or they're case officers.
Gotcha.
The spies or the agents are the people we go overseas and recruit to spy on their countries for us, right?
Okay.
So Allison is she's a station chief. She's a station chief in Berlin. She is a case officer in some cases. So because she's working now for the Russians, she's technically a mole.
Okay.
So it happens, right? Mm-hmm. The most famous CIA mole is a guy named Aldrich Ames, who spied. He was a CIA relatively high-level officer for the CIA, and he spied for the Soviets for many, many years.
Mm.
Ended up costing the lives of at least 10 of agents or spies that we had recruited inside the Soviet Union.
Wow.
So he was highly placed, probably about the same level Allison is, so somewhere around the station chief level, although he wasn't a station chief, he was at headquarters, but he was a pretty decent, had access to a lot of information, and that was made him especially dangerous. The other good example is Robert Hansen, who was an FBI counterintelligence agent, who also spied for the Soviets and then the Russians after the end of the Cold War, and was responsible for many, many secrets leaking out to the Russians. The good news is both Hansen and Ames are spending the rest of their lives in supermax prisons in the United States. So they were both captured, and they're not going to see the light of day again. So that's likely what would happen to Allison. We haven't executed a spy since Julius Nestor Rosenberg in 1953. So they're not going to bump her off or kill her or anything, but they will send her to prison for the rest of her life. Okay. I want to kind of throw something at you guys. The best thing they've done so far in the last two seasons of Homeland is the relationship between the SVR handler and Allison.
Really?
Okay.
This is spectacularly well done. In just the couple minutes of screen time that the SVR handler has, he's shown lots of different skills that a handler needs to have. It's very nuanced. You can see him kind of switching from job to job in this case. A handler does a lot of things. You have to be a psychologist. You have to keep your agent from freaking out. You got to keep them calm. You can see him allaying her fears and keeping her in the game. You have to play to her ego. In this case, ego is her motivating factor. Now, there may be something else down the road we don't know about, but right now he talks about the fact that, you know, it's her personality. She wants to be in the game. She loves this kind of stuff. Playing to her ego, talking about how wonderful she is at kind of having these men wrapped around her finger, flattery. Mm-hmm. And then he's firm when necessary. He's kind of saying, look, let's talk logic here. Calm down. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's switching from one to the other shows how skilled he is. You kind of have to read your agent and understand what's necessary to keep them in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they're going to want more money. Sometimes they're going to be afraid of being captured. Sometimes they're going to get too cocky for their own good. And so you have to be armchair psychologist. You have to be firm. You have to be someone who pulls them back when necessary so they don't get themselves captured. It takes a lot of skills. And this guy, at least they're showing him having it. And he would. I mean, if he's working for the SVR in this kind of a job, if he's running their top spy inside CIA, this guy is going to know what the hell he's doing, and they're portraying him as somebody that does so. So it's good to see that.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'll totally agree with you there, because the first time we saw him, he's meeting with Korsnick to pick up the documents that were stolen from the CIA. And at first, he's so nice and charming to Korsnick. So, come on in, sit down, this is just business, let's toast together. So it's so true what you said, and it resonates with me, because he made him feel like he was doing a great thing and everything's fine.
Wow.
And yet he has this killer instinct and ultimately a loose end that he would never allow to stay afterward.
Well, if you think about the first time we see him and Allison together in the parking garage, he's doing exactly what's necessary. And even in that case, all she wanted him to do was just sit there with him, with her. And that's, again, he just realized that the number one thing he could do for her at that point, to keep her calm, to keep her in the game, was to just take some time, just sit there with her. And that's something someone that kind of skill set would understand. It's all about reading people. It's all about getting them to do what they naturally aren't going to do, right? Allison is somebody that obviously at one point loved America, has worked her way up through the CIA. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of counterintuitive and against her nature to spy for the Russians.
Right.
So he has to make sure he keeps her in the game. He has to convince her to do what she naturally isn't going to do, in that case, betray her country.
Mm. Right. Good That's point.
Interesting. I want to move to a different topic. Laura Sutton. It has had a huge role in this in this season. I hear him laughing. But how damaging is her work to the efforts of intelligence agencies in trying to fight terrorism worldwide?
So
hypothetically, of course.
Yeah, no, Laura. So Laura is the Glenn Greenwald stand-in. Laura is the WikiLeaks or whatever stand-in. Mm-hmm. I think that she is a bit of a caricature of most foreign policy national security journalists. Even Greenwald and Laura Poitras, when they got the Snowden documents, thought about the potential of getting somebody killed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They took into account, like, we better not release certain documents because it could, you know, cause harm. It could hurt American and Western national security. You know, they may not have done as good a job as people wanted them to, but even they thought that. And Laura Poitras is so over the top. I've talked to many, many journalists, both in big, massive media outlets like New York Times, Washington Post. I've talked to a lot of journalists who do kind of underground independent stuff. And all of them who cover intelligence and national security have an understanding that what they're doing has a real impact in the world. Mm-hmm. And so she's a little more over the top than I would like her to be. I think she's kind of, again, almost a caricature of these people. Now, let's say hypothetically, if she existed in the real world, she would be incredibly damaging. You know, one of the things, Snowden gave hundreds of thousands of documents over to Glenn Greenwald and The Guardian and The Washington Post. We've only seen a small portion of what Snowden released. And it's not because they're waiting to drop a bomb on us. It's because the vast majority of these documents are things that were going to get people hurt. Mm. And there are these journalists, again, if you don't like them, that's one thing, but they actually have thought about this. They're taking into account, we can't release this document because it outs undercover agents. We can't release this document because it'll help terrorists. And so that's something that's taken into consideration in the real world. She's not, obviously. She's just like, screw it, everybody should know everything. And that's ridiculous. Mm. But even, again, even in the case of the Snowden documents and WikiLeaks and Glenn Greenwald and what Chelsea Manning released, there is an argument to be made that terrorists, that other countries, that different organizations have changed their tactics based on information that they've heard. And that's the real argument against Edward Snowden. That's the argument against these kind of leaks, is that you provide maybe not exact information, because there's nothing that Al-Qaeda is going to gain from some of these documents, but Al-Qaeda is going to gain knowledge of how we do things, what our limitations are, what our capabilities are. And these are things that are problematic, because all of a sudden people aren't using their cell phones anymore. All of a sudden people aren't sending emails unless they're highly encrypted, or they're not sending emails at all. They're using draft, like, for instance, one of the great ways of communicating without the NSA listening in on it is creating an email account that you and somebody else has access to. You create a draft email that just sits in an inbox somewhere, is never sent over the airwaves, and then the other person signs in and then can read the draft and then leave another draft for you back. So you're never actually sending an email.
Wow.
Should you be saying this?
These ideas were actually released in some of the documents, and so they're not things that I'm making up. I'm not giving away any information. These are things that terrorists now are using to try to get around the capabilities of the NSA. I mean, look, the NSA is the best organization in the world. They're going to get you eventually, but eventually it's problematic, right? When you're talking about terrorism, timing means everything.
Right.
And we may know, like, today we have a really good idea of who all these guys were in Paris. You know, we even know the guys we're looking for. We probably in a day or two will know who financed them. We know who sent them. That doesn't do us any good if we needed to know that on Thursday of last week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So timing means everything. And the ability of terrorists to delay knowledge until it's too late to do anything about it is all they need And that's something that they got some insight into that because of Edward Snowden, because of Chelsea Manning, because of things like WikiLeaks. Now, is it enough to cause an attack in the United States? I can't tell you. It's going to be – we're going to know it when we see it, unfortunately. But that's a very long answer to a very specific question. I apologize.
No, that's okay. Great. All of that info was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Our eyes just illuminated.
So right cool. Now. Yeah, when you said that, you can't see us right now, but we're all looking at each other like, wow, that's really cool. Yeah, so any other questions, guys, that you have for Dr. Houghton?
I did, and he answered it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's going to do it for our questions. Dr. Houghton, why don't you tell the people again where they can find your materials, and thank you again so much for all the insight.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, no problem. The easiest place to go is spymuseum.org. That's spymuseum.org. That's the website for the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. There's lots of interesting stuff there. In particular, I'm promoting my podcast called Spycast, where you can – every Tuesday we release a new podcast, me talking to former spies, authors who write about intelligence, former agency directors, people like Tony Mendez, who Ben Affleck played in Argo, people like Valerie Plame, who you know may be familiar with. But yeah, every week it's somebody new, something awesome. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You can find us on iTunes also, Spycast. Interestingly, on iTunes, there's some Russian podcast that has the same name, Spycast. Well, not the Russian one, we're the other one.
Of course.
Of course.
So
it's important to make that distinction.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Houghton, thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you so much.
Hey, no problem.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Right. And we will link, of course, all of those links in the description box below, so take a look at that.
You guys out there can find more information. We will include at the bottom of our description box on YouTube for tonight's after show. What a cool interview that was.
Very cool, especially about the email.
Yeah,
the draft email thing.
That makes so much more sense, though.
It does.
You know?
Because, you know, if you don't electronically transfer something.
That's right. How are they going to read it?
Exactly. I thought of that before. Like, when you draft a text,
right,
you don't send it, and who would ever see it if you just delete it again, unless someone is tracking your keystrokes.
Right.
Wow, really interesting. Yeah. Thank you for talking to him and getting
you,
him
Julia.
To come on.
Well, yeah, just I read the article last week, and I thought it was just super insightful, and he just the way in which he explains parallels to actual intelligence gathering methods and his perspective on character motivations and things like that, I thought was really important for everyone to know about. And I'm so happy he came on.
And I was going to say, I like the fact that he explained the double agent thing and the mole thing.
Right.
That was very clear, and I like that.
There is a clear difference, and for us who aren't totally educated on the intelligence community, it's such a smart distinction that he made there. So guys, be sure to go to the Wall Street Journal and check out his articles. I read the whole thing last week when Julian tweeted it out. Super cool read and something that enhances your understanding of the show. Mm-hmm. So we've got about 5 minutes left, guys. You know what that means. We're moving to the final segment of the show, which is predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Julian, go.
Oh, I didn't even write that. I'm still
reeling from our conversation with Dr. Houghton. So, Allison will... My prediction, this is my one and only prediction, because Allison was the central figure for me and the person that really incited a lot of emotion for me. Mm-hmm. Allison, I think, will be playing the long game. I don't think she's going to get caught immediately. Mm-hmm. I do think she will meet her maker, so to speak, I don't think it'll happen for a little bit longer. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to jump in next, Stephanie, because my prediction is also an Allison-based prediction.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Allison is going to kill herself when she gets caught.
Whoa.
Oh, I kind of thought about that, but I didn't want to say anything, because, you know, you say stuff like that, people get upset with you.
Well, and I mean, if you saw it in the previews from next week, you shouldn't say that, but we haven't. That is not a preview for next week. I think because she said, I will not spend the rest of my life in prison. Mm-hmm. When she is caught, she is going to end her life at her own hands because she's not going to prison.
Such a smart prediction.
Yeah.
I want to change mine. I want to change mine.
No. No, I got to it first. When you started talking about Allison, I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to have my prediction. No.
Well, that's a great prediction, man. Like, it's you could see it on her face and what, you know, the emotional toll it's taking on her. Mm-hmm. That would not surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Stephanie.
I think we're going to see Otto's dark side. Yeah. I think that's going to start coming out now. Unfortunately, he's moving in that direction. I think Carrie and Jonas are going to get back together, possibly.
Ooh, no possibly. This is a bold prediction.
I'm hopeful. That's all. I'm just a hopeful lady. I believe in love. And I don't know. I think Saul and Dardal are done. I mean, their friendship is done. So I'm not... I think Saul... I don't even know what to say about Saul.
Really? I think if everyone's going to be reconciled, then they will be reconciled,
I think they'll be
too.
Fine.
But really?
Well, maybe not fine. They won't be on the same level, but I think they probably won't be enemies again.
Well, even though he's with Itai? He's kind of went that way?
That's a good point, right? Because if Saul is going to go with Itai, and now... potentially confirm what Dardal thinks about Saul.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Can he ever really trust Saul?
No, I don't
Maybe
think he
not.
Can.
Maybe not. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. I think their 30-year friendship is pretty much over.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
And that's a shame, because I really like Dardal's schemes now. Yeah. I don't like him as a character, as a person. He's but a slimy little...
I like him as a contrarian to Saul.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love him as a contrarian to Saul, because it brings out the best in Saul.
Yeah.
And, well, I like his scenes with Quinn, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can see him, like, get visibly excited when Quinn says that he has people that he could deliver to the Syrian border and present a high-level target opportunity for Ordnance to take him out.
Yeah.
And Dardal's like, I love you, man. I mean, you can just see it in his eyes. He was so excited.
I thought he was going to high-five him or something.
Yeah.
Like, sweet!
You're the man now, dog.
I have
to expect him to say that.
And I was going to say, I think Quinn might just disappear into the mist.
No.
You think? Really?
Really? Why?
I disagree. Tell me why. Tell me why.
I just kind of think he's done. Like, he's over it. Like, he's tired of running. He's tired of fighting. Mm-hmm. Maybe just because he's been injured. I don't know. Maybe that's the vibe I'm getting from him. Because once he goes across, where are they with those guys to, where are they going? Turkey or something?
Yeah, en route to Syria.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But what do I know?
That's an honest feeling that I think that's an honest feeling. I just think he's been in it so long and he knows that it's kind of futile at this point.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of exciting episodes coming up.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's all for this week, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Guys, Julian, for you first, where can they find you on social media?
I go first. You can find me all across the board on all social media at Julian Dujeric.
And I'm at Stephanie G on Instagram and Twitter.
And what's your name?
Stephanie Garrett on Instagram. Stephanie Garrett. Stephanie G3360. Stop it.
And I am at Stephanie G. That's my name.
That's my name. Stop it, guys.
And I'm Frank Majorana. You guys can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Dr. Holden. Be sure to follow him online and go to SpyCast on iTunes. Also follow us on iTunes. Give us a review, a thumbs up, and a comment below in the YouTube video. Go out, have a blessed week, and we'll see you back soon.
Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.